You're listening to YahvaHYahweh.name on the internet. Good afternoon, or evening, or good morning, wherever you might be in this great world. You're listening to YahvaHYahweh. Yes, of course, and I'm Stefan Yah, and we have this great treasure. We are speaking today from our home offices in Oregon, and we'll be reading from Ezekiel 36 as well as Exodus 19 on the theme today of the greatest treasure, a peculiar treasure, and also in Matthew and Mark, where Messiah said, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And some of us has really struggled in life, in our employment, trying to just make it, trying to struggle along. At least so we thought, that we needed more backing, more possessions. And so some of these scriptures might conflict with our current worldview of where we stand economically, where our economy should be. So let's just take a look, first of all, of the starting place is the covenant of Yahweh. And I'm reading from the Tree of Life version. I'll have a good comment or two about the new Tree of Life scripture releases. But for now, let's go to Ezekiel 36. And then partway through at verse 22. "Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, I do not do this for your sake, house of Israel, but for my separated name." Now they're using the H-O-L-Y word, which I replace, and also the Adonai, which I replace and restore back to its original Yahweh. I cannot find a perfect version, okay? So I'm just going to mentally transpose these words as I see them, and then I'll correct them as best as I know. "So therefore say to the house of Israel, thus saith Yahweh, I do not do this for your sake, house of Israel, but for my pure name, which you profaned among the nations wherever you went," which of course our world is doing right now, profaning his name or avoiding it. "I will sanctify or set apart my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned among them. The nations, or Gentiles, will know that I am Yahweh. It is a declaration of Yahweh when I am set apart in you before their eyes." Yes, that's what we need to do, is stand before the world and stand before all creation, being set apart, being pure in not only in the mind, but in heart as well, and in intent. So in verse 24, Yahweh continues, "For I will take you from the nations and gather you out of all the countries and bring you back to your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean from all your uncleanness, from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you. I will remove the stony heart from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my ruach, or my spirit, within you." And it says ruach here in this version. "I will put my ruach," and they capitalize the pronoun my ruach within you. "Then I will cause you to walk in my Torah," or laws, so it says here. "So you will keep my rulings and do them. Then you will live in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you will be my people, and I will be your Elohim." And here it uses the G word. "And so I will save you from all your uncleanness." Oh, that's a wonderful passage of Scripture. It goes along with Jeremiah 31 and Hebrews 8 and Hebrews 10 in the newer Scriptures in the Brit Kaddishah. So that was Ezekiel, or Ezekiel, in Hebrew 36. At 26. And then in Shemot, or the book of Exodus, commonly known, in chapter 19, and even though you can't hear the pages rustle and turn, they are being turned right now, and turning over a new leaf here. So we're reading from the book of Shemot, or in the Tree of Life version, it says Exodus there. They didn't change that, but that's probably okay for now. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me. And there's the word that we are accenting, treasure. What sort of a treasure do we need? Do I need a better job, better position, a better car? Then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Then we go to Devarim, or Deuteronomy 28:12. Devarim, which means words, the words which are spoken by Messiah, and check on our progress here on this program about treasures, laying up for yourself treasures on this earth? No, up in heaven. Okay, here it is in chapter 28 now, verse 12. Yahweh shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of your hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Notice the pronouns here, thou. So this is obviously the King James Version with the corrections. So that was such a powerful chapter. We could put that up on the wall of our homes. 28:12 of Devarim. Yahweh is going to give the rain and to bless all the work of your hand, and you shall lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Then in Tehillim or Mizmor or Psalms, the beautiful Psalms in 135, and then we'll be over to Proverbs. This is only for one quick verse. 135:4 says, "For Yahweh has chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure." So there you are. You are Yahweh's treasure, a peculiar one indeed. Then here it is, Mizmor, Proverbs 15:6. Proverbs 15:6, "In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble." So you have treasure, spiritual treasures in your home. Praise Yahweh for that. And also throwing out the carnal side there. And I could go into that. I won't go into it in great detail, but in referring to the treasures which people put in their homes, the great big wall-mounted televisions, or the stereos, there's no end to it all. I'd like to make about a 60-second comment about that. You know, we could all stand to improve our spiritual life. Well, that's a no-brainer. First of all, are the scriptures, what they commonly call the Bible, are the scriptures the ultimate and final authority? Well, we hope that they are. And are we in a right relationship with the Father? Oh, this means more than anything, not just any kind of a relationship, but a righteous relationship with the Father, being led by the Spirit and the power of the Spirit, and being convicted and convinced by His Word, by the Scriptures. So there's two questions. Are we believing that Yahweh's final authority is in His Word? And do we have that right covenant relationship with Him, that marital relationship? Then thirdly, am I negligent of something? That was a good question to ask, especially around the Passover season. Furthermore, am I guilty of doing something or doing anything? Well, we know that if we are deliberately breaking His commandments, we will not enter His kingdom. Satanists and those who reject the Torah will not enter the kingdom. Not if they correctly understand it and then they reject it. They won't enter the kingdom, but it'll spell trouble. It'll spend time in hell forever in the fire. Then we hear about the rock and roll stars and Christian stars as well who do rock music. I'm worried about that, but they should be worried about it too. You know, over half of the rock stars are sexual perverts and Satanists, And we would not want to be a part of them, but we want to have that right relationship with the Father. We don't just say, well, I'm going to listen to what I want to hear. I don't care what it is. And I have such a good, close relationship with the Father. No, that's hypocrisy. We don't want to be hypocrites about anything. So grow with the Scriptures and grow with the Word. Grow with Messiah. He is the Word. And we know, we can't fool ourselves, that we are going to be into some bad stuff, some deep doo-doo, if we continue in this idolatry of rock and roll and Christian rock. And not discounting that there are a few good songs out there. Yochanan the Immerser said it, and the Messiah said it. Repent, for the kingdom of Yahweh is at hand. So let's love the Father, grow with the Scriptures, grow with Messiah. So that's the end of that particular passage of preaching there. And that was over a minute, by the way. So then over to Psalm 135, verse 4, which says, For Yahweh has chosen Jacob unto himself and Israel for his peculiar treasure. And then we read in Proverbs, In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. Proverbs 15:16. Now we're going down 10 verses here. Put your finger down there in verse 16. Better is little with the fear of Yahweh than great treasure. Better is little with the fear of Yahweh than great treasure and trouble therewith. You know, the fear of Yahweh, the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge and discernment that we sometimes lack. And we have to have a greater amount of discretion in thinking about things and what we do from day to day. Hallel Yahweh. So better is little with the fear of Yahweh. And then in Proverbs 21, actually Isaiah has one about fear, but since you're still in Proverbs, go to 21:20, and we'll come back to Isaiah about the fear of Yahweh. Okay, Proverbs 21:20. There is treasure to be desired, and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spends it up. There is treasure to be desired. What treasure is that? Gold and silver? Well, in James, he says, Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness again. Well, anyway, we'll read that in a moment. But I said Isaiah, or Yeshayahu, chapter 33. So here it is, what your treasure is. Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times. Do you feel settled lately, or do you have that unsettled feeling? Well, you say, well, I don't go by feelings. And that is well said. For in a locomotive engine, the engine is pulling all the freight or the cars, the passenger cars. The caboose is always at the last. The caboose represents the feelings, right? You've seen that in that little pamphlet. We are not to be led by our feelings and think that that is going to dictate a feeling of a check in the spirit, or as if the spirit is speaking to me through emotions of some kind. It's possible, but his word is greater than all. Yahweh's word trumps all of our feelings. Better is little with the fear of Yahweh than great treasure. And Isaiah 33, verse 6 now, Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. The fear of Yahweh is his treasure. So we hope we have that proper fear. Let Yahweh be our fear and our dread. And it's defined, sometimes fear is defined as having awesome fear of Yahweh and proper respect. And then, Proverbs 21:20, I think I read that, but there is treasure to be desired, oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spends it up. James, in the New Testament, close to the end there, James said in chapter 5, through the inspiration of the Spirit, because all Scripture is inspired, and 2 Timothy 3:16, Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you. The rust of the gold and silver shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasure together for the last days. Well, that's a bad thing there. Matthew 19, the Messiah said, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor. And meaning to the poor in the flock, and to your own family to begin with. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Praise Yah. About 15 minutes into the podcast, we're going to go to Luke next, to the Lucas, chapter 12. Messiah is here again speaking. I believe all the scripture should be printed in red, because Messiah is the Word, and He gave us His scripture. He is the authority. Speaking for the Father, Messiah said in chapter 12 of Luke, verse 19, speaking of the foolish one, I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But Yahweh said unto him, or Elohim said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be? Whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that lays up treasure for himself and not rich toward Elohim. And then follow down about 12 verses to verse 33. Sell that you have and give alms. This is a benevolence here. Give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old. Treasure in the heavens that fails not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupts. And in 34, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So we don't want to get wound up in putting too much emphasis on we certainly don't want to get rich quick, but too much emphasis on and trying to acquire more material possessions. I think Yah has provided just about everything for us, as long as we have food and raiment, and hopefully a nice home, a nice building of some kind, or structure, or a tent to keep us dry and warm. Oh, also in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the apostle wrote, But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of Elohim and not of us. We have this treasure in our body. But let's look that one up now in 2 Corinthians and get the whole context, because there's a lot more there to be said, although there are many, many commandments in the New Testament, and sometimes there's just a whole list there. So let's back up. And in verse 5, he says, We preach not ourselves. Verse 6, For Yahweh, or Elohim, has commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts, or shone in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the esteem of Yahweh in the face of the Messiah. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of Yahweh and not of us. So it doesn't have that much to do with our own personal possessions at all, or even the substance we're made of, and the nose on our face. We are troubled in every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Messiah, that the life also of Messiah might be made manifest in our body, for the which we are always we live, delivered unto death for Messiah's sake, that the life also of Messiah will be made manifest in our mortal flesh. And death works in us. We're putting away the flesh, the filthy flesh. And we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing this, that he which raised up the Messiah shall raise us up also by Messiah, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant favor might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the esteem of Yahweh, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for a far more exceeding and eternal weight of esteem, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Yes, Yahweh will meet our needs, but not all of our wants. And, you know, we see some little material victories and, you know, some nice things. We might have a few extra dollars in the fund, a few extra denarii to take off and go on a journey during the feast days. And that we did and had a fine feast. And it was very, very low cost, well, it was $40 a day for two, so that doesn't seem that cheaply, but anyway, it was a good, nourishing time to be at the Feast of Pesach with my family, and we rejoiced together. So let us strive and walk with Yahweh as closely as possible. And now I've been reading from King James as well as the Tree of Life version, but in the book of Luke, we read in 13 now. We're just going to the next chapter from where we left off in Luke. We are at Luke 12, for your treasure is there, there will your heart be also. But in Luke 13, as Messiah continued on his journey through the towns and villages, teaching and making his way to Jerusalem, and somebody said to him, and I quote, "Master, are only a few being saved?" Then Messiah said unto them, "Make every effort." Now I'm reading here from the Tree of Life version. "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able." And the King James says, "To enter through the straight gate. Many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able. Strive to enter in at the straight gate," in the King James. "For many, I say, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." Verse 25, back to the Tree of Life, the TLV. "Once the master of the household gets up and shuts that door, and you're standing outside and begin knocking on the door, saying, 'Master, open up for us,' then he will say to you, 'I don't know where you come from.'" The master will say, "I don't know where you come from." Then you'll start to say, "We ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets." But he will say, "I tell you, I don't know where you came from. Get away from me, all of you evildoers." There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of Elohim, but you yourselves thrown out. And they will come from the east and the west and from the north and south, and they will recline at the table in the kingdom of Yahweh." Yes, his bride, his perfect bride there, as she's being perfected right now, will have that marriage consummation supper. And that's soon to be when we go into the millennium. It's soon and very soon we will come to see the King from the east and the west and the north and south, reclining at table in Yahweh's presence. And indeed, it says in verse 30, "And indeed some are last who shall be first, and some are first shall be last, and some who are first shall be last." So that's a quick message there. Only 24 minutes, and I summed up the idea of the treasure in our hearts. There's treasure to be desired. There's wisdom and knowledge, which is the stability and the strength of our salvation. The fear of Yahweh is our treasure. And in the house of the righteous is much treasure. And we are peculiar treasure. Israel is a peculiar treasure unto Yahweh. And then Yahweh also said, "The earth is mine," there in the book of Exodus. We reviewed the idea about the covenant, and we're thankful for the admonition that we got from the Savior himself as well, although he spoke these words in Proverbs and Deuteronomy and Exodus, but in Matthew, Messiah said, "Sell what you have and give alms, provide yourself bags with which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that fails not. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And enter in at the straight gate," that was in Luke 13:24. Well, as we left the feast, we learned a few things about some of the ministries around that are very helpful. One was the ministry of a Christian cowboy in Canada, Trevor Baker. And you were able to audit and listen to his CDs at trevorbaker.com. And I told you a little bit about the Tree of Life version of the TLV scriptures. And some of the down points there is they are still using the titles G-O-D and Adonai, that they were substituted for the Tetragrammaton. And then so, as I mentioned, that I mentally transpose these words back to the original from the Hebrew. And so then when I read one of those words like G-O-D or Adonai, I mentally and vocally say Yahweh. And I will write that in the text on our website, Yahweh Yahweh. But the Tree of Life version scriptures in the prophets, they did a far better work in there than I believe that they did in the King James version. They improved on and clarified a lot of things and brought it out more clearly in the prophets. So that's why I mentioned the Tree of Life version. But to put the word H-O-L-Y in big bold letters on the case on the front of the scriptures, that really shocked me. I thought that they went into the research on that these 50 words already, but we are all in different areas of study, I guess, of the Hebrew, and the origin of some of these English words is really unbelievably shocking. Let me spell that for you. A-L-E-P-H, that's Aleph. Tav is T-A-V, scriptures.com. And then you can look for the product, or I could give you the rest of the URL string. It's aleph-tav-scriptures.com/product-category/mats. And that could give you the paleo scriptures. And also you can find an interlinear there that's available. And an example of the one of the versions here is in Leviticus 23 for Passover. Leviticus 23, verse 4. These are the appointed feasts of Adonai. So I corrected that to Yahweh. Let's see. Let me go down to my corrections here. I'm still working on what they gave me. These are the appointed feasts of Yahweh, pure convocations, which ye are to proclaim in their appointed season. During the first month, on the 14th day of the month in the evening, is Yahweh's Passover. On the 15th day of that same month, that's Aviv, on the 15th day, is the feast of Matzah to Yahweh. For 7 days you are to eat matzah. On the first day you are to have a pure convocation, and you shall do no regular work. Instead, you are to present an offering made by fire. And in this case, we use Romans 12. Present your bodies a living offering, pure and acceptable unto Yahweh, which is your reasonable service. Instead, present an offering made by fire to Yahweh for 7 days. On the seventh day is a pure convocation, when you are to do no regular work or no servile work. For this feast only you are able to cook, even on the high days, unless one of those high days falls on the seventh day Sabbath or Shabbat, and then it does not preempt the Sabbath day. It doesn't trump the Sabbath day. Bikurim and Shavuot in verse 9 Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to B'nai Yisrael and tell them, when you have come into the land which I give to you and reap its harvest, then you are to bring the omer of the first fruits of your harvest to the Kohen, or priest, and he is to wave the omer before Yahweh to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath." So counting from the morrow after the Sabbath is how it should be phrased, as the King James does in a superior way. "And the morrow after the Sabbath, the Kohen is to wave it." So in a matter of counting, it would be counting from. So it's not when the day comes to us that means that we can count one day. No, that's 0 hours when the evening begins the day. We are at 0 hours until the end of that day. "So on the day when you wave the omer, you're to offer a male lamb without blemish, 1 year old, as a burnt offering to Yahweh. The grain offering with it shall be 2/10 of an ephah, a fine flour mixed with oil, an offering made by fire to Yahweh for a soothing aroma. Its drink offering, it shall be 1/4 of a gallon of wine. You're not to eat bread, roasted grain, or fresh grain until the same day, until you have brought the offering of thy master. It is a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings." Then in verse 15, "Then you are to count from the morrow." Notice that word "from" does have, Mi'amahor, does have a meaning to it. Words have meanings, and so the word "from" there is important, where it says, "Then you are to count from the morrow after the Sabbath," that is Sunday or first day of the week, counting from that day, "from the day that you brought the omer of the wave offering, 7 complete sabbatons, until the morrow after the seventh Sabbath, you are to count 50 days, and then present a new grain offering to Yahweh. This, of course, would be at the proper time of year, not an early Pesach, not an early New Year or Pesach, but at the proper time." So we need to continue to study, not pull apart and get into a confrontation, but we need to study and reason together and study that Yahweh's calendar. There's all kinds of articles written by them, but by different people, excuse me. But we certainly have our own independent study that needs to be done. So praise Yahweh for that. And during the feast, I did have a member come up to me, and they were working. This woman was working, and she wanted to teach me her doctrine. But anyway, in contrast to that, I think we ought to just sit down, first of all, and take and open the scriptures, and open, they call it open Bible study, or open scripture study, to sit down, first of all. Don't just be standing there with your hand in your pocket and reciting out of thin air what you think the scripture says, and in context, of course. So we need to, you know, be aware of the whole passage, as well as the total context of Scripture and the harmony of Scripture. In other words, going to the beginning of the Word of Yahweh, around Bereshit, or what's called Genesis, and all the way through the book of the Revelation. Find out what the foundation of each doctrine was. Where did this teaching start, and where are we now, and where will we be in the future, in the completely new kingdom of Yahweh in New Jerusalem? How shall we think of things then? To congregate and to discuss intelligent subjects. So let's be fully aware of that Yahweh is holding us accountable for treating each other properly with love and respect. Oh, okay, now, here it is. I think I wrote an article about that and still didn't get it out here. But let Yahweh be our fear and our dread. And praise Yah, I found that. Now, oh, here it is. And it's on my phone, but it says Shalom. I'm going to start out telling you what I did at the feast during my own time. I found a beautiful forest hiking trail that was adventurous. I even felt fear coming back from what an adventure, what fear, what wonders Yahweh has created, and what might be out there that I didn't know, if there would be a mountain lion or what, or a ferocious animal or a waterfall or something. Maybe the trail would be washed out. And no cell phone service, so I couldn't call 911 if something terrible happened. But for sure, Yahweh's creations are awesome, and let the fear of Yahweh be our dread. And we don't need to conjecture or postulate some theory or another that may never happen. Don't borrow trouble, for each day has probably enough trouble of its own. Let the fear of Yahweh be our dread. And regarding the Feast of Unleavened Bread and Pesach, but also in self-evaluation during the feast, I would like to examine the person that says, "My heart is right. I am infallible. No proof is needed. Just listen to what I tell you and just do it." And this is arrogance and pride that they have. To my mind, that's arrogance and pride. "No one else lifts up to my standards, even including the wearing of hats and things. No one will listen to what I have to say. No one has anything to offer me. They have no more knowledge. They're not profitable to me." Well, infallibility is, however, it is not a characteristic of the true believer. No one knows it all. So let us be open to reason with one another as we sit down, and not put our hands on our hips and shout off and pout to each other, but re-examine our doctrines and attitudes, perhaps in private, or perhaps just two people could do this. If it was an unmarried man and woman, then perhaps with a third or fourth person present there. And re-examine, and let Yahweh be our fear and our dread, and be a servant to one another in the body of Messiah, and then he will exalt us in due time. Praise Yahweh. And I referred to Romans 12, and also during Passover, or at least the earlier Passover, I mentioned about 1 Peter. 1 Peter has a passage in there to put on bowels of mercy and be compassionate toward one another. Romans 12 also in that passage says, "Be kindly affectionated toward one another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another." Let us prefer one another and be a servant. Then it says in Hebrews 13, I think it is, somebody said 12, but 13, without looking right now, off the top of my head, I think it's near the end of 13, "Without peace and pureness toward our brother, no one will have eternal life." Courtesy involves words like, and we really mean it when we say, "I'm sorry." And we don't just convincingly say it, but we actually believe it when we say, I'm really sorry. What was it in Japanese? It was gomenasai. I was riding a motorcycle in a congested area in Japan and ran into a pickup truck full of three big Japanese guys, and they got out and came back. I ran into their bumper, and they came back, and I said, "Oh boy, this is it. Now what am I going to do?" And they came up and bowed, and they apologized. So I didn't. Now what am I going to do? They apologized. It was my fault, not theirs. But I think that's kind of humility where everyone should be willing to admit, "Well, I'm sorry for the part that I played in this conversation or in this action." And there are other words that we're not hearing too much these days in assemblies. Is good morning would be a nice thing to say. And good evening. And thank you, and you're welcome. And we can't remind you enough. And generosity as well. So praise Yahweh for those who already have this kind of courtesy. It's a natural thing for some to be generous in the spirit and be a real blessing to others. and make those apologies if necessary. Don't be overly apologetic. That it's always your fault, and don't think that you're always the one to blame if that's not the case. No, I'm not saying that at all. That's called low self-esteem. We don't want to have high or low self-esteem of ourselves, but just esteem our others more highly than us. But we shouldn't esteem ourselves more highly than we ought to, according to that passage there in Romans. And I wasn't through here, so let me finish. And so we're improving character and showing forth good works before Abba, Yahweh, our Father in heaven. We praise Him, and many, many wonderful things await us, and surprises, and in the heavens we look forward to a new earth and a new heavens, wherein dwells righteousness. And I think we're ready to finish up now. And those who are going through trials, I know that we need to pray for Israel. So I guess I'm not finishing up, but for those in the area around Jordan and Syria and all that Middle East area where trouble seems to be brewing, that let's read this from Peter. 1 Peter 1. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire. So it is more precious than gold that perishes. We don't have our treasure there in gold. So let our faith be tried with fire, and found unto praise and honor and esteem or splendor at the appearing of the Messiah. Messiah is going to come quickly. Whom having not seen, though you love him, in whom though now you see him, not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of esteem, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And then into that book of the Revelation, as we tiptoe through the scriptures here in my trusty King James, and Revelation chapter 12 would be one to quote that I haven't read from there recently. I want to thank you for joining me here on YahweHYahweh.name. My email is StephanYah@YahweHYahweh.name. And so here it is in the Revelation 12. And the Feast of Atonement prefigures the putting away of Satan and chaining him up for 1,000 years. Verse 9, the great dragon, which cast out that old serpent called the devil and Ha-Satan, which deceives the whole world, was cast out into the earth, and his messengers were cast out with him. For reference, see Revelation 20. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation. Now is come salvation. And strength and the kingdom of Yahweh. And the power of his Messiah. The kingdom of Yahweh and the power of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brethren, that is Satan, is cast down, which accused them before our Elohim night and day. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. He has a short time left. When the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle. To the woman given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and a half and half a time from the face of the serpent. The serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. See also Isaiah 57:19. And the dragon was wroth with a woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of Yahweh. Keep the mitzvah of Yahweh, or in the Greek, theos, which still isn't clear. Where do they get these? And we need to go back to the book of the Revelation. There's got to be a manuscript out there somewhere that does away with any corruption at all. Just the pure water of the word of Yahweh. Blessed are those who keep the commandments of Yahweh and have the testimony of Messiah. That was Revelation chapter 12. And we started out talking about music, so be sure and fill your hearts with splendid music, beautiful music of all different wonderful types and compositions. And to not allow the outside influence of today's fallen culture to corrupt your heart. And remain in Yahweh that way. Let that establish your theme for the day. And then we join our hearts in prayer and lift up the heavenly Messiah and being grateful for him, the gratitude for everything, salvation, eternal life, forgiveness of all of our sins, and the help to overcome, and the promise of the resurrection of eternal life into being in the presence of Yahweh, literally, when we come to see him face to face in New Jerusalem. We will find no more corruption there, no more death, no more sting of death or sorrow or crying. Yahweh will wash all of this away and reward his servants. And the nations were angry. This is in Revelation 11:18. The nations were angry, and thy wrath has come in the time of the dead, that they should be judged. And thou should give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, or emissaries, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and should destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of Yahweh was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his covenant. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. Shalom.